Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This morning, we're going to look at a passage from the Old Testament that talks about the Messiah who is to come. But before we do, I want you to understand that the reason at this time of year we like going back into the Old Testament to look at these messianic prophecies is because that's why they were written. God gave us His Word in the Old Testament to point us to Jesus. So before we go to Isaiah 9, we're going to look in Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 25 through 27, and 44 through 49. Let me give you the setting here. Jesus has died on the cross, been buried in the tomb, and now has been raised to life. And he meets up with a couple of his followers who are walking down the road together, and they're talking about the fact that they had really hoped Jesus was the Messiah, but all that's over with now because he's dead. And Jesus comes up and he says, "So what are you talking about?" And he said, "We're talking about the stuff that just happened in Jerusalem." And he says, "What do you mean?" They say, "Are you the only one who doesn't know what's happened?" Isn't that a great question? Cleopas asked that. Okay, "Are you the only one who doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem?" And they tell him about this guy who they had really hoped was going to be the Messiah, but who died. In verse 25, he said to them, "How foolish and slow you are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Would you love to have been there? Verse 44 and following. He told them, "These are my words." Now he's meeting with the disciples back in Jerusalem. He told them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And look, I am sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high." I'm sending you what my Father promised. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That had already been promised. The Holy Spirit had already been promised in the Old Testament. God had said he was going to do a new thing. He was going to make a new covenant with his people. He was going to change our hearts. And he was going to put his Spirit within us. Jesus came and he was Emmanuel, God with us. But now, in the new covenant, when Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, something new was happening. Now, instead of God with us, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is his Spirit living his life through us. So, Those two passages from Luke 24, now look at John 5:39. John 5:39, Jesus is speaking to those who rejected him, those who mocked him, those who refused to recognize him. And in John 5:39, Jesus says, "You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. And yet they testify about me, but you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life." You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. Tragically, there are people still today in churches that claim to be Christian and Bible-believing conservative folks who are still operating at that level. Maybe if I go to three more Bible studies, I'll get it. Okay? As if it's about head knowledge. Now, I am absolutely persuaded of the importance of Bible study and sound doctrine, but if your Bible study doesn't keep showing you Jesus, you're missing the point. The goal of studying the scriptures is relational, not just intellectual. It's in order that you might know Jesus better, because the scriptures are about him. We see this repeatedly. Now, there are a lot of scriptures we could look at. I said we're going to be in Isaiah 9. God willing, in just a few moments we will. But indulge me here to get a glimpse of some scriptures that reinforce what we're talking about. Look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2, this is God's word. "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers conspire together against the Lord and his anointed one. Let's tear off their chains and throw their ropes off of us. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord ridicules them. Then he speaks to them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will declare the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with an iron scepter. You will shatter them like pottery. So now, kings, be wise. Receive instruction, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverential awe and rejoice with trembling. Pay homage to the Son, or he will be angry and you will perish in your rebellion. For his anger may ignite at any moment. All who take refuge in him are happy.'" Say, well, I don't know that that's particularly a Christmassy psalm. Well, actually, yes, it is. Yes, it is, because the one who's born is the king. So now let's look together at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. This is God's word. "Nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of the former times when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, and to Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. Why? Verse 6. For a child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What changes everything? The arrival of the child. When Jesus comes, it can't be undone. That which was awaited for generations now suddenly occurs. A virgin conceives and bears a son. And he comes not only to take away our sin, he comes to establish his reign. I don't know how you see Jesus. A lot of people in our culture today seem to see him primarily as sort of a mellow hippie type guy who just sort of comes along and goes with the flow and tells everybody just, you know, chill, just be cool, it's all good. Nothing upsets him, he never gets angry. Jesus is just cool about everything, okay? It's all good. Whatever you're into, I just want you to know, I think you're great, okay? That's the Jesus that's marketed in a lot of churches, in a lot of religious materials. Jesus is just inviting you to come and sit in the clover and look for one with four leaves, okay? Just do what feels right, because that's what matters. And then we read the Bible, and it turns out Jesus really isn't like that. Now, please understand, I've been around some other churches that they don't have the hippie Jesus. They have the 50s Jesus, okay? And, you know, he's got a flat top, and everybody else better too. We're going to enforce, you know, we're not going back to Amish times, but we are going to go back to the 1950s, and right now, in order to further my sanctification, I'm looking for wide white walls for my tires, okay? This is not about trying to preserve what makes us comfortable. This is about King of Kings and Lord of Lords who calls us to holiness and makes it possible. Okay? Because you see, apart from him, it's impossible. Nobody is going to be declared righteous in God's sight by keeping the law, because we've all broken the law. So how can we be reconciled to God? Through the death of his son. He was the perfect sacrifice. His blood was shed so that we could be forgiven. But he doesn't just want us forgiven. We're more than forgiven. Paul rebukes the Corinthians because he tells them, you're acting as if you were merely mortals. You're behaving as if you were just human. If you are a Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God himself has come to live his life through you, and he gives you the power to do the right thing. So don't pretend that you can't do the right thing. Well, I want to. I just can't. I can't resist temptation. Yes, you can. So do you always resist temptation? No, I don't. But it's not because I can't. It's because I don't. And therefore, I need to confess and repent and ask God to cleanse me and forgive and change me, because I don't want to stay making the same mistakes over and over.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
And so if we really believe that Jesus is who He says, we're going to live differently. Listen to how this child is described. A child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on His shoulders. He's going to govern. He's going to rule. He's going to reign. Now the innate response of unregenerate people is Psalm 2. Let's throw off these chains. I don't want to have to do what God says. I don't want to have to follow His rules. I don't want to have to do this impossible standard. Let's just throw off these restraints. Let's forget about God's law. Let's just do what we feel like. Let's be our own bosses, shall we? I won't tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do. Everybody will just do their own thing. It's a disaster. I mean, I think rules are a good thing for other people. I don't want people going by me at 100 miles an hour on the interstate. It's just, I'd like to be able to do that. Can you relate? Do you ever wish you could break the rules with impunity, but everybody else would have to keep them so that they wouldn't get in your way? The fact of the matter is, Jesus came to govern. He came as king. He's the King of Kings. The government will be on His shoulders, and He'll be named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. And yet they crucified Him for blasphemy. Why? Because He made Himself out to be equal with God. Well, haven't they read this? He'll be called the Eternal Father. Who's going to be called that? A child. A child will be born for us. A son will be given to us. And He will be called Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, the dominion will be vast. Its prosperity will never end. He'll reign on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever, and the zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Please understand, Jesus is not hoping to be elected. We live in a country where the people are supposed to be the rulers. We send people to represent us in government. It's government for the people and by the people. That's the aim. That's what we aspire to. That's what we think we are supposed to have here in this country. Let me just submit to you, that is not the way most governments have been conducted in most of the world throughout most of history. You aware of that? It is not an efficient model of government. Now, I'm not campaigning against it. I'm not running for king. But the people who established that approach to government, did so with the express understanding that that system of government will only work for a people who share a faith in the one who is king. Okay? If we can agree together that God is God and that his law is good, and there's a general understanding in society that we need to do those things that are right and not do those things that are wrong, then we can govern ourselves. Because we're governing ourselves with an appeal to the ruler of the universe. Let's just say we've gotten a long way away from that in our country. And that's very, very sad, and it's one of the reasons that we're in such a mess today in our culture. There's been just a series of accusations against various people in politics and in show business and horrible, horrible things that are being alleged and in some cases documented. This really happened. And yet our culture is a little schizophrenic right now about how to respond, because on the one hand, we want to have moral outrage. I can't believe that happened. Well, this has got to stop. Well, this will not be tolerated. And on the other hand, this is coming from the mouths of people who for years have been telling us there is no right and wrong. Who are you to impose your morality on others? Now it's awkward. But that's where we are. That's what happens when people say, let us throw off his chains. We don't want to submit to the one who's king. We want to do our thing, have it our way. That rebellious mindset is the voice of bondage to another king who's an imposter, who is the prince of darkness, and who is doomed. All who follow him will be destroyed. But Jesus came to establish justice and righteousness, and his kingdom will last forever, and the zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish it. God doesn't need any votes. He created all things, and he will reign forever. So, when we look at these scriptures and we see Jesus, I want to be sure that we don't just see him as the tender baby lying in the manger. We don't just see him as the suffering Savior bleeding and dying on the cross. But I pray that we will see him as the King of Kings, as the one who conquered sin and death for us. Satan tried to tempt Jesus in various ways. And one of his temptations was, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. But you see, Jesus had already been promised all the kingdoms of the earth by his Father. And the zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish it. One day there will be people from every tribe and tongue, nation on this earth, worshiping around the throne. And our job is to be a part of the army that brings the message and invites people to surrender while there's still time. Everybody everywhere needs a Savior. But God has provided salvation in Jesus Christ. Don't miss out on his kingdom. Jesus says in John chapter 3 that the reason that we ought to be born again is so that we can enter the kingdom of God. Don't miss out on it. He invites you to bow before him and surrender your life today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.